Well, you're listening to Quad Dot Rocks, God, the World, and Other Things. I'm Kenny Price, your host. Our mission, you got it, advancing equilibrium in the midst of an agitated world. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Season 19, Episode 396, title, When a King Gets It Right. Subtitle, Grassroots Power. Jonah is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I visit it on a regular basis. It's the Old Testament book that all Hebrew students translate and work in for a grade because it's short and a complete story. It's cinema-like in its visual presentation. It has heavy action scenes and almost comical scenes when Jonah ascends to his elevated viewpoint and hopes to see the great city of Nineveh consumed in the impending fireworks of God's wrath. But the unexpected happens when Jonah finally obeys God and goes and preaches to Nineveh the message that God will give him. All the people repent of their wickedness and cast themselves before this unknown God who has sent his messenger of judgment and destruction. From this historical account, there's a great message of hope for an 11th hour conversion for us as individuals and as a nation. The phrase 11th hour conversion is derived from the biblical parable of the laborers in the vineyard, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. In this parable, a landowner hires workers throughout the day to work in his vineyard. Some are hired early in the morning, others at various times during the day, and some are even hired at the 11th hour, which is the final hour before the workday ends. At the end of the day, the landowner pays all the workers the same wage, regardless of the hours they worked. Those who were hired early in the morning grumble because they believe they should receive more since they worked longer hours. However, the landowner replies that he is being fair and generous, and he has the right to do what he wishes with his own money. So the phrase 11th hour conversion is often used metaphorically to describe a last-minute change of heart or belief, like the workers who were hired at the 11th hour in the parable. It signifies a sudden transformation or decision that occurs shortly before a crucial moment or deadline. Nineveh was headed toward a head-on collision with the Holy God of the universe. Their sin was so obnoxious, the fragrant stench of their filth. Literally in the Hebrew, it says that their sin had come up before God's face. It means their stench of sin had come up to the pole position in the presence of Almighty God. Listen to the message, and then we'll glean a message of hope for an 11th hour conversion for us and our nation. This starts in Jonah chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and preach the message I tell you. Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city, a three-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, in 40 days Nineveh will be demolished. Then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree in Nineveh. By order of the king and his nobles, no person or animal, herd or flock, is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from his wrongdoing. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster he had threatened them with, and he did not do it. So what does this look like, the 11th hour conversion? It starts with the declaration of God made through his appointed messenger. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message I tell you. Next, it takes the obedient response to the command of God by his servant, his mouthpiece, to the masses. Verses 3 and 4 says, Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city, a three-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, in 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. Then the message is received by the grassroots audience, demonstrated through appropriate action. Verse 5 says, then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. From there, the message reaches the elite in power. Verse 6 says, when the word reached the king of Nineveh. Next, we must see the elite in power respond to the message with an appropriate action. The second half of verse 6 says, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. My friend, this is a profound statement that the king of Nineveh lowers himself to the point of being in sackcloth and ashes. This was an act of humiliation, of self-humiliation. So the king got the message, and he personally responded to the message with appropriate action. Next, we see the elite leaders legislate. They lead the masses according to the revelation the message received. Then he issued a decree in Nineveh by order of the king and his nobles. That is important. It was a full-weighted decree from both the king and his leaders, his nobles. What did it say? No person or animal, herd, or flock is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. That is radical, my friend. Furthermore, both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth. So we see what happens is that they go all in their actions, showing that they get the message, that they're repenting, they're changing. So the all in manifests itself with the reality that everyone must call out earnestly to God. All people must pray. Each must turn from his evil ways and from his wrongdoing. So all repent with tangible repentance, not just lip service. Finally, who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. So we see that all wait for the response of the holy God. Finally, God relents his impending judgment. It says God saw their actions, that they turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster he had threatened them with, and he did not do it. So my friend, what a complete picture of an 11th hour conversion. Peace is restored, the people are redeemed, and God is satisfied. Happy days are here again. Friend, for the great city of Nineveh's sins and filth to take center stage in God's holy arena, it was horrendous. Think about it. Among all the cities of the planet, and it makes the number one court docket position for prosecution in the throne room of God Almighty. Yet we have no indication that Nineveh was aware that they had fallen into such radical decay. We need an 11th hour conversion. It is possible. If it happened in Nineveh, it could happen here. But you ask Kenny, what will it take? I've just given you the prescription, but let me go over it again concisely. Number one, it takes a spokesperson for God who tells the truth of the impending judgment that's coming. My friend, impending judgment is not an option. We don't get a pass before the holy God of the universe. No nation does. Number two, it has to have a reception of the message at the grassroots level that results in real contrition, conversion, and external signs of repentance. In other words, things must change at the grassroots level. Thirdly, the elite leadership receives the message and follows suit. The people in this nation are a reflection. The leadership are a reflection of us, whether we like it or not. When the grassroots changes, the people over us change. It's the way we work. Finally, the elite leadership enacts legislation that shows there has been a change and a conversion to God. And my friend, don't tell me it can't happen because it can. Satan wants us to believe that it can't happen. But my friend, so is an 11th hour conversion possible for a person or a nation? Of course. Why? Because God is not willing that any man should perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. So friend, it's never too late until it's too late. Then when it's too late, it really is too late. When God does pour out his wrath or judgment on a nation or a person, then it's too late. Until then, my friend, I'm an optimist. Here's what you and I need to do. We need to get our own lives right with God, open our mouths, and talk openly and plainly to all in our circle of life, and pray that God will raise up a national voice that will call our nation to repentance. Then pray that the grassroots people will respond, and the elite leaders of our nation will fall in step and usher in happy days again for our nation, and that will honor God with our lives. My friend, you plus Jesus are stronger than all the host of angels and demons in the universe. Who is he that shall harm us when God is our protector? My prayer for all of us is that we would know Christ and the power of his resurrection and be found at the corner of happy and healthy as we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And remember, my friend, the sun is always shining somewhere.